Our passage tonight will actually come from Psalms chapter 27. Brother Corey has graciously allowed me to have one Sunday each month to share the gospel and to share the word with y'all, and I am excited to be able to start doing that one Sunday each month. It'll be as fitting for his schedule and mine, but I've decided that I believe it would be a good practice for us just to start walking through Psalms as I teach on these Wednesday nights. And I was hoping that we could do Psalms 27 in one shot, but as I began to study, I noticed that it would take quite a few messages to get everything down. So we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6 of Psalms chapter 27. And start in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high up on a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices. With shouts of joy, I will sing and make melody unto the Lord. I've heard it said that there is no amount of darkness that can conceal even the smallest flicker of light. And this is true, for darkness is often defined simply as the absence of light, meaning that any amount of light would remove darkness. But practically, we must think, here in this life, darkness surrounds even the light. Even though light is there, guiding us, showing us the way, darkness avails us. Darkness is waiting. Oftentimes in life, I personally have felt darkness creeping back in, waiting for my joy to diminish, for the light to fade. Depression and sadness, unworthiness and doubt. When we lost a child, when my grandfather passed, when a friend hurt me, dark places surrounded me. And yet my mind and my heart would always come back to this passage in Psalms 27. It was always on my mind, that first verse there. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The light of our Lord is a piercing and powerful thing. The new heavens and the new earth are described as having no darkness. And there will be an absence of light wherever we go. A land of perpetual day, I believe is what is said. And it's natural for us to fear darkness in general. There is a sense of unknown and hiddenness that causes us to worry and dread. In comparison, Psalms chapter 82 describes darkness as a place for those that are fatherless. But as Isaiah chapter 9:2 tells us, the people who walk in this darkness will see a great light. And those who live in the shadow of death, the light will shine on them. Why? It's because the Lord is my light. He is my salvation. That's what this verse tells us. He is the light. He is the salvation. We are found by Christ stumbling around in the darkness. But there's a great thing here. We are not left there. We are not left there in fear. We are pulled out and have no darkness to fear, for there is only life. And this life is the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, as John 1, 4, and 5 says. His light is within us. It is around us. It is reflected from us and will be revealed to us by the reading of his word. It's within us, around us, reflected from us, and revealed to us. The Lord not only gives light, he is light. In the same way, he doesn't simply give salvation. The Lord is salvation. Salvation is life. And this life comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He has removed fear by the gift of life in his Son. Gone is the darkness of death, the darkness of fear. Yahweh has given us his Son. Christ is the stronghold, the great defense, the mighty fortress spoken of here. After all, he is our only hope in life and death, as the song says. Who holds our faith when fears arise, who stands above the stormy trial, who sends the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ. I love that verse of that song. Verse 2 shows us what evil is like, what this darkness does. Evil is like a disease, a corrosive sickness that destroys our life, and it says our flesh. When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Those that do that evil want nothing more than to seek us, to seek us destroyed, to see us destroyed in darkness with them. But we must see them as the adversaries they are, stumbling around in the dark, for they have no light. They can do nothing but stumble and fall. They don't even seek the light, for they are happy and content in their darkness. Like a hungry lion in the dark, Satan looks for someone to devour. But verse 3 shows us that regardless of Satan's number and strength, regardless of his evil intent to do harm and bring us into the darkness, my heart will not fear. We need not fear evil, for the Lord is with us. His rod and his staff comfort us, even in the presence of our enemies. That's Psalms 23. Even in the presence of war and evil, he is guiding us, and rightly so, because war is a terrible thing. The more I study and learn of man's war, the more I pray my children will never know it. We watched a movie about the World War II with my children not long ago, with the oldest, and Timothy made a comment how bad war is, how wicked and how, I believe he said evil it was. He said he didn't want to watch anymore, and I understood. The more I study of it, though, the more I pray my children will never know it. The war that they will fight concerning sin, though, will be one that we all fight, and one that only Christ will win in victory, finally defeating sin and ending the war. And that is the trust that we have. This is our trust. Christ, the victor over our enemies. This is what David saw. David saw this as he penned the psalm. The war arises against us, we must still trust in the only one found worthy to overcome sin in our lives. Our shelter and stronghold is this. He is the shelter in the day of evil and darkness. Our shelter on the day of trouble is also the dwelling place of God, as verse 4 shows us. The psalmist is seeking after the Lord's protection. David is seeking the Lord's protection. He's seeking shelter. No longer does his flesh desire the evil of darkness. God has gifted him with the desire to seek after him, without which David would have been left stumbling around in the darkness like everyone else. This is now his one desire, which is what he says there at the beginning. He says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord." This is now David's one desire. This is his goal. If only we ever set our mind upon the one goal of heavenly things. Instead, we often are, as David once was, pursuing worthless things of the flesh. There's a favorite quote of mine from William Carey. I believe it's been attributed to him. Several others have claimed it. But it says, "Don't fear failure. Fear instead is succeeding at things that don't really matter. David was a man once divided. He is now calling out with one mind, though, asking of his father to stay, to allow him to never leave this place of shelter. Listen to the verse. He says, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek shelter after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." To allow him to never leave this place. That is what David asked. To never again have to see the horrors of evil and war, but to dwell in the safety of the Lord forever. To behold and gaze upon the beauty of Yahweh forever. As I said Sunday, the heavens are his throne and the earth his footstool. Nothing can contain this mighty God. Nothing that man can build or create can contain the power, the majesty, the glory of God. The only suitable dwelling place for such an immense being is one made by his own hands, our soul. We become his holy temple, and we are held together by none other but his hand. Oh, to be saved by his living word, to become his temple, and then learn from his written word, and to hear his spoken word in eternity. All of this done under the shelter and love, under his shelter and love. We must always seek to desire and know the will of God and how we can do it correctly. Now, as a side note, I don't really believe that we will need to ask questions in heaven. Many people say, you know, I'll ask God that when I get there. Scripture says that we shall know even as we are known. Do not believe there will be any need to ask Jesus how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. But until that day, we should desire, as David did, to sit under the shelter of his wings and learn of Christ, to know of God more, to be known and to know God. In his shelter, he will hide us, as verse 5 shows us, conceal us and lift us up. For verse 5 says, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. He will hide me as he hid Moses in the cleft of the rock to shelter him from his glory. He will conceal us as he hid Paul in Arabia to learn from Ananias. He will lift us up on the rock as one that is in the safest, strongest, and most immovable mountain fortress possible. The Lord will effectually protect his people. This we can rely on, my friends. He will hide. He will conceal. He will lift up. We cannot. Left on our own, we will remain in darkness. He has made a shelter for us in our time of trouble. We can take pride in this high and lofty fortress, for we are unreachable to our enemy, who only seeks to destroy us, as verse 6 shows. But the psalmist here says in verse 6, "Now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me." They are scattered all around them, but he says, "My head will be lifted up. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord." Lifting up our hands, we know that our Father has secured our future. We do not need to bow our head in shame. We can lift up our head, for he has secured it. We need not fear what may come, because he is faithful. David was so sure of God's victory over his enemies that he made plans of what to do once God had fulfilled this request. David prayed and asked God to do this. And then he made plans of what he was going to do after it, because he was so sure of God's fulfillment. He said, "I will rejoice, sing praise with a loud voice." My friends, let the world be silent. Let the world be silent when victories are won and evil is defeated. Let the world be silent, but let not us. Believers, we must and will sing out to the Lord. Saints, must reserve their music for the Lord alone, singing with a loud voice what Psalms 34 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Blessed is that man, truly indeed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this gathering of believers tonight. I thank you for the love that we share. I thank you for this time of study, this time of singing praise and proclaiming your name. Father, we have quite often failed to lift up our praise before you. Father, adequately we are humble. We are mute often, Father. We have looked upon your gifts, Father, not with longing, Father, but with expectation. We have expected these things to happen, and when they happen, we do not show adequate praise and honor. But Father, help us tonight to see that your shelter, the shelter of your wings, the shelter of your arms, as you hold us, as you lift us up, Father, that this is something that we can rely upon, that we can look to you in our time of trouble. When we are depressed, we can say that you are our stronghold. Father, that you, Father, are our light and our salvation, and there is none that we should fear. You are the stronghold in our life, and we need not be afraid, Father, because of what your Son has done. We thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. Help us to learn and to seek to learn at your feet, not pridefully proclaiming, as Goliath did, that we are God, that we know best. Father, instead, let us proclaim that we are nothing. What a wretched man I am, Father, but to stand before your feet and sing your praise is a blessing, Father, that we would never know if it were not for your Son. Thank you for this time again together tonight. We ask your blessing and your protection on everyone that leaves. And we ask that you bring us together again this Sunday to worship together and to proclaim your name once again as the gathered body of believers. It's in your name we pray. Amen.